In this message, we will look at the cause of harm. We know that Noah caused harm in the book of Genesis. And you know, many, many historians, theologists have written on the cause of harm. In fact, a lot of people have equated harm to be the generation of Africans. That is why Africa is so backward today. People say that probably Ham was an African. But all that is not true. Let us examine the cause of harm in this message and see how it is applied to our lives. Let us see how what God was trying to communicate to us. If your eyes are open, your ears are, you know, open, you're going to receive divine intelligence. Divine intelligence as you listen to this message. Now, let's quickly go to Genesis chapter 9. I'll start from verse 20. And Noah began to be a husbandman. And he planted a vineyard. And he drank of the wine and was drunken. And he was uncovered within his tents. His being uncovered means he was naked. He was naked within his tents. He was obviously drunk and naked within his tents. Verse 22. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon their shoulders and went backwards and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine, that's when he came back to his senses, and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. And he said, blessed be the Lord of Shem, of the God, the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem. And Canaan shall be his servant. Praise God. This is very, very deep, deep, deep prophetic utterance here, spiritual utterance. These are things that we heard in the 10 heavens. Things that will shock you. When you begin to understand the mind of God concerning this matter. From these few verses in Genesis, we can already begin to understand the reason why people are living under the curse today. And we can also begin to understand our way out of that curse, how we can be delivered from that curse. These few verses in Genesis reveal two generations, two types of generations. A generation that looks on the father's nakedness. A generation that looks at the father's nakedness and mocks the father. And a generation that honors the father and refuses to look at the father's nakedness. This is true spiritual revelation we are going to receive now. And brethren, keep this thing you are going to hear today. Because these are not words of men. Our meditation, what we are hearing today, is directly from the throne of God. A generation that dishonors the Father by looking at the Father's nakedness, and another generation that honors the Father and refuses to look at the Father's nakedness. How does this thing apply to us today? If you open your eyes, brethren, open your eyes and look around about you. Open your eyes and look at all men, all nations, all peoples. If you cannot see God in all men, you have a very wrong view of creation. If you cannot see God, one God, the only God, distributed in all men by His Spirit, you are blinded by the spirit of this age. You are walking in ignorance. The generation that looks at the father's nakedness is the generation that looks on the creation with a carnal mind. It's a generation that descends the creation after appearances. It's a generation that is not able to discern the seed of God. The only seed, the only presence, which is God in all men. I tell you, the beginning of wisdom and the only way to life is to begin to recognize God the Father in all men. I begin to relate to men the way you relate to the Father. Now herein lies the root of some of the Ten Commandments. We know the Ten Commandments says that you shall honor your father and your mother. Praise God. Your father and your mother are not your parents after the natural birth. It's not your natural parents that gave birth to you in this physical world. We're talking about God, the only true God, who is the Father of all and who is in all and through all. We're talking about God, who has buried his seed in man and appears as man in this world. If your eyes are open, you begin to discover that everything is simply a reflection of the glory of God. The Spirit of God covers all in all and is everywhere. If you are not recognizing the presence of God, if you are looking at the creation only after the natural instincts, you are only inviting the curse. Because to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is eternal life. Spiritually minded is to attain to that realm, or to that mind of Christ that recognizes the Father in all of creation, where you begin to see only the Father and you begin to walk in relation to the Father. See it? That's why he says, love your neighbor as yourself. You can only love your neighbor as yourself when you recognize that your neighbor is the same as you. Your neighbor is the same substance in you. Your neighbor, the other guy there around the corner, is simply another manifestation of God in that vessel. It is the same spirit of God in that vessel. Praise God. The time has come to begin to recognize God's presence in the creation. Recognize the seed of God in you. Recognize the seed of God in the brother, in the brethren, in your family. Always bear in mind that there is only one family, eternally speaking, and that is the family of God. See, the family of God consists of all men, all the spirits dispersed all over the world. That is the family of God. Of course, some might not have come to this realization, some might come to the realization later, but recognize that this is the family of God. The generation that receives the curse is the generation that is not able to discern God. Hidden in all men. That is not able to discern the Spirit of God. Nested in every man upon the face of the earth. How can you love your neighbor as yourself? Except you recognize this mystery. See it? And there is no way you can ever attain to the place of infinite blessings and glory except this principle is working in you. Loving your neighbor as yourself and loving God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. You love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength when you awaken to the fact that in reality you are part and parcel of the Godhead. This is the mystery that the Bible has been trying to preach, unveil before our eyes. That we are not just ordinary mortal beings. Born some years ago, some part of the continent, you know, with a white skin or with a black skin, or with tribal affiliations and all that. No. We are offsprings of God. Offsprings of the Most High God. We are all part of the Godhead. We all form the body of God. Seed. And the Spirit of God is here to bring us back to this awareness. When you say, I and the Father are one, if I confess I and the Father are one, that is the mentality of Christ. That is the awoken consciousness, the consciousness that is totally awoken from the dead. You are dead in your sins and trespasses. You are dead in the trespass of Adam when you do not know that you and the Father, God, are one thing. It's one thing. And you must recognize this is the same for your neighbor, it's the same for the brother out there, it's the same for the sister out there. No matter where they are, what they do, that is the same for them. There is still that seed of God in every man, even though some men are still asleep. Some men do not, you know, realize this consciousness, this awareness. They are not aware of this mystery that I and the Father are one. Praise God. So first of all, there has to be recognition, spiritual insight on the Father's presence, on who the Father is, on where the Father can be located. And I say the Father is located in you, in every man. See, and when our eyes are open and we begin to walk by the Spirit of revelation to serve the Lord, to honor the Lord, it will mean that I cannot mock, or rather look at the imperfections of the other brother out there. So I cannot despise the other brother out there. There can be nothing like hate. Hate cannot be found in me. Intolerance. Praise God. No matter what, I must be able to see God. In whomsoever I come in touch with, wherever I am. No matter what that person did to me. No matter his seeming imperfections in the flesh, I must recognize that hidden in that vessel is that same substance that I am, which is God the Father. This thing might be very difficult to practice. Even when Jesus Christ told the disciples that, you see, they must always forgive. They too were astonished that if you love all men, love your enemies, do good to those that hate you. See, that spirit that says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Jesus Christ was saying it out of sincerity there. No matter what somebody has done to you, no matter, you know, the conflict, seeming conflict that we have had along the line, you must be, you know, ready to, you know, focus your mind on the seed of God that is in the person. And work in relation to that perfect seed of God. We are not to look at people after the flesh. We are not to recognize men after the flesh. Paul says that if I have known Christ after the flesh, I know him no more after the flesh. In likewise manner, we know no man after the flesh. See, you cannot recognize people after the flesh. Don't identify people after the flesh. Don't, you know, try to, you know, how do I put it? Identify a man from the outward appearance, what he does and all that. You have to recognize a man only by the spirit of truth, by the spirit of revelation. See it? And if your eyes are opened by the spirit of revelation, you are going to see the image of God. You are going to see the seed of God in that man. And this calls for deep, you know, meditation. This calls for deep, how do I put it? Spiritual development to attain to this place. You attend to this place through meditation, silence. You attend to this. This is the work. This is the work that we have, we that have this revelation. John says that he that has this hope purifieth himself as he is pure. See, you purify yourself by putting on the eye, the understanding of Christ. You purify yourself by, you know, casting down all those high thoughts, high, you know, imaginations that litter our hearts. See, those high imaginations that exalt, you know, themselves against the knowledge of Christ. The knowledge of Christ is that simple knowledge that sees only God in the creation, that sees the Father, recognizes the Father's presence, and, you know, honors the Father. That is the mind of Christ. See, if you are not seeing Christ in what you are doing, you only have a veiled view. If you are not seeing God in his creation, you only have a veiled view of creation, and you are going to suffer greatly. See, those who will come to Mount Zion, those who will stand upon Mount Zion, which is the place of unlimited blessings and glory in God, the place of all power. This is the realm that Jesus Christ walked in, that all things are possible. Those who will stand upon Mount Zion are those who have fulfilled the law of God. And if you study the law of God, it's simply the same principle of recognizing the only I am that there is, that is God. Is simply the principle of recognizing the only God, one God, that is in all and through all. Study the Ten Commandments. See, love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. This is only possible when you have transcended your human existence. That's why normally you talk of Mount Zion as an ascent. This is only possible when you have been swallowed in God consciousness, whereby it's no more you but Christ. And Christ, as we know, is one with God, one with the Father. So that loving God is loving yourself. If I and the Father are one, if I love myself, I love the Father. So you shall have no other God before me. Love your neighbor as yourself. I can love my neighbor as myself when I recognize my neighbor has the same substance. When I recognize my neighbor is God. And we are one. Honor your father and your mother. I recognize the father and the mother, you know, through all, in all and everything. Isn't it the same Jesus? During one of his crusades, they brought his mother and his, you know, his mother and his brother and sisters were out there waiting for him, and somebody abducted him. Jesus, your mother, your parents, your mother and your brethren are out there waiting for you. And Jesus Christ told them plainly, look, my mother and my brethren are those who do the will of God. You know, he pointed to the disciples. They do the will. These are my mother and my brethren. See, because these are the ones who actually have evolved from their human existence. These are the ones that have left all to unite themselves in the knowledge of God. Praise God. So the only way to life is when we put on the mind of Christ. When we put on the spiritual mind. It means we have to cast away all our petty thoughts in relation to family members, our petty thoughts in relation to, you know, friends, to race, to people and every people we come in contact with. Our mind has to be renewed totally so that we are always beholding the truth. We are always, you know, beholding the glory of God the Father by faith, recognizing his presence in everything and honoring him. But when Jesus Christ was here on earth, he made a particular gesture. You see this in John chapter 13, from verse 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garment, and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Praise God. So we can see Jesus Christ humbling himself to become a servant here. Humbling himself to take up the form of a servant. This is Jesus Christ taking up the form of a servant to wash the feet of the disciples. Praise God. And if you read further, Jesus Christ says that we should do likewise. Jesus Christ says, blessed are those who do the same thing. Blessed are those who do the same thing. Doing what Jesus did is equivalent to what Japheth and Shem did to Noah. That is to serve and honor the Father. Because as Jesus Christ bowed down to wash the feet of the disciples, he was actually seeing the Father within the disciples. He was not seeing Peter after the flesh. He was not seeing the disciples after the flesh, but he was beholding the Father in them and serving the Father, honoring the Father. And he told Peter, that Peter cannot understand this thing now, but later he will understand. At that point in time, they were still carnal disciples. They were still disciples without the Spirit. They didn't recognize the deep things of God. So John told him that Jesus told Peter that he will understand later. See, that is the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ sees the Father. See it. He sees the Father. In an impoverished state, as a man, and he comes to serve the Father. He comes to cover the nakedness. He comes to honor the Father. Praise God. That should be our mind. And blessed are those who do these things. John chapter 13, verse 13. You call me Master and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and your Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Happy are you means blessed are you if you do them. If you know these things. See, we have to cast away all the knowledge that we have acquired in this earth. Call it the knowledge of man and acquire the celestial knowledge of God and begin to serve God. Humble ourselves before His presence. Recognize Him. Recognize His Spirit, His eternal presence locked up in men, all over, all men. And begin to serve all men equally. For we have become servants of all men. Praise God. Servant of the seed within us, which is Christ, which is God the Father. The Father dwelleth in us. We also serve the Father in the brethren as we come across them. Now let's quickly turn to the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians, let us see chapter 2, verse 5. It said, let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took up the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Praise God. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross, whereby God has also exalted him and given him a name above every name. Praise God. Hallelujah. You can see the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. He thought it not robbery to be equally with God, meaning he had a revelation that he was God, manifested in man. I and the Father are one. He had this sacred revelation. That is Christ. You must have this revelation of who you are. You must have the revelation that you and God the Father are one. That is your first step to progress. See it. Praise God. He said he took up, he made himself of no reputation and took up the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. He took up the form of a servant You see the servanthood aspect here? That was what he demonstrated as we washed the feet of Peter. In likewise manner, this is what, this should be our mind, our attitude, our, you know, mindset as we get revealed. This is the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in us. He made himself of no reputation. Praise God. Being found as a man, he humbled himself. Being found in the likeness of a man, he humbled himself unto the cross. You see, being found in the likeness of a man, he humbled himself to a cross. You see, the knowledge of man, the ego of man, is that thing that exalts himself. Itself against this simple knowledge of Christ. Is that thing that tries to exalt himself above the knowledge of Christ, above the knowledge of God. Now, the man of the flesh does not like that doctrine. He does not like the doctrine that says that I am one with the other man out there. The man of the flesh wants to be exalted. He wants to be higher than the other man. He wants to be lifted. He wants to be worshipped. That's the man of the flesh. He's filled with pride, arrogance. See, but Jesus Christ made himself of no reputation. He humbled himself to the death of the cross. See, we have to nail our personalities to the cross. Our outer man does not value anything. He has no value. The identity we walked in the past, thinking that we are this or that, has no value whatsoever. What we have to do is to humble ourselves. To the death of the cross. And walk in relation to Christ. This is the truth. This is the way to life. See, therefore Christ was exalted above all principalities and powers. The name of Jesus Christ was exalted. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. He has been exalted above all names. See, and we who get this revelation, we who get this mystery, are being exalted in Christ. We are the generation of Japheth and Shem. These are the ones who refuse to look at the nakedness of the Father, but rather look at the glory of God. These are the ones that refuse to retain the knowledge of man. The knowledge of man is that knowledge that negates, that is, rejects the knowledge of God. The knowledge of man perceives the creation with a natural, carnal understanding. But the mind of Christ, which is the mind that we are acquiring in this hour, is that mind that sees only the Father. It sees the glory of God dispersed. Hallelujah. These are the ones that receive the blessings. And we know the only place of blessings is in God's presence upon Mount Zion. It's a realm. See it, where the elect, where God's chosen ones are gathered into. It's the paradise of God. It's something that is available even right here on earth. You don't have to die to go there. You can live in that realm where you are lifted up against the problems of humanity. Nothing can touch you. See, men can't hurt you anymore. Situations around you cannot hurt you. It's a realm of unlimited blessings where you prosper on and on and on in the glory of God. The curses, the disease, the sickness, and all the things we see in this world cannot come near you. That is the realm of exaltation for the generation of Shem and Japheth. See, and Canaan becomes a servant of servants. If you look at read the Bible properly, you'll notice that the Canaanites, those of them who were actually servants to the Israelites, they are the ones that normally, you know, cut down, you know, wood log for them, fetch water, did most of the manual labor for the Israelites. This is a fulfillment of this curse of the curse of Noah. Servants of servants. I'll tell you one secret here that is going to shock you. You know that even those, when you come into the realm of God, when you come into the place of rest, we're talking of the, when you have arrived, you will discover that, you know, people on the other side, that's, those are those who don't walk in the light as you walk in the light, actually serve you. You will discover that all the elements of this world serve you. Praise God. They serve you. People serve you. All their labors, all their sweat and all their toil is enjoyed by only those who are in the light. If you are not in the light, you cannot enjoy the fruit of your labor. Praise God. If you are not in the light, walking in the glory of God, if you are not walking in the blessings of Mount Zion, you cannot enjoy the fruit of the labor, your labor. What men do in this realm, men who work in relation to the outer material world, what they do is just sweat and toil and gather in vain. But they don't truly enjoy the fruit of their labor. Let's turn to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 6 from verse 1. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is common among men. A man to whom God has given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanted nothing for his soul of all that he desires. Yet God giveth him not power to eat thereof, but a stranger eateth it. This is vanity, and it is an evil disease. Praise God. Hallelujah. Can you see what he's saying here? Some men gather unto themselves. You labor, but you do not have the power to enjoy your labor. Those who enjoy your labor are strangers. A stranger enjoys your labor. Who is this stranger? The stranger is Christ. Christ is a stranger upon the earth. See, the foxes have holes, the birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his bed. The Son of Man is a stranger upon the earth. Now, he's the one who enjoys all the fruits of all the labor of all the men. What people don't realize is that all the toiling, the works of men, they are sweating day and night. All the structures they erect, the things that they do, scientific discoveries and all these things, if you enter, walk in the light, you will discover that these men are actually serving you. Praise God. But this is a subtle mystery, because you need spiritual insight to understand this mystery. you walk in the canal, if your eyes are not open, you would, if your eyes, how do I put this? Let's put, if you walk in the canal, you think that probably your gathering or your labor, in your laboring in ignorance will profit you something, but it will not. But like Solomon says in another proverb, say he has seen where kings work as servants. And servants work as kings. Let's look for this scripture. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 verse 5. Or from verse 6, folly is set in great dignity. That's folly. Foolishness is set in great dignity. And the rich sit in low place. I have seen servants upon horses, and princes walking as servants upon the earth. Praise God. I have seen servants walk, you know, upon horses, and princes walking as servants upon the earth. Now, this scripture shows the subtle nature, or rather the deception, in walking after the flesh. See, if your eyes are open, you will discover people who are considered great, people who are considered, you know, highly esteemed among men. But in the eyes of the Spirit are ordinary servants. You see them in high places, riding upon horses, as princes, as kings upon the earth, whereby the real princes, the true sons of God, go about as servants. Brethren, let us not be fooled. The way to life is to recognizing God in everybody. The way to life is to recognizing God in all of creation. See, no man can enter into the realm of infinite blessings except he's totally innocent and pure. You can't enter into God's presence, into God's glory, harboring malice, or remembering something somebody did to you years ago. You can't enter into God's presence despising and hating somebody. It's a realm of love, of pure, unadulterated love. So our prayer and our development as Christians daily is to grow in the knowledge of Christ, grow in the knowledge of God, grow in the knowledge of the truth. And this is the thing that we groan for day and night. This is our prayer day and night. Our groaning is to be aligned with the mind of God, to be aligned once more in God. Our groaning is to be delivered from the human corruptible nature. To be delivered from that carnal nature that does not see God, that does not honor God. It's only as we ascend from our human identities, ascend from our human existence, material existence, vain existence, and align ourselves in God once more, that is when we can function as God upon the earth with unlimited blessings and favor. That is when we can, you know, be lifted far above the curse and the tribulation that we see in this present age. Ham is simply the generation of people that walketh after the carnal minds. Those that do not recognize the Father. See it. If you are still harboring malice, you are still harboring hate, intolerance. We are not recognizing God. Praise God. So we must change that trend. Our work as Christians is to cover the naked. Cover the naked. Praise God. Cover the naked. Not to mock at the naked. The time has come to color creation with the knowledge of God. Hallelujah. Let the knowledge of God and God alone emerge from out of us. See, this is what Christ has come to restore. Restores back into truth. Restores back into himself. And we know he is eternal life. And he is the only true God. Besides him, there is none other. Praise God. So let us cancel from our minds those things we've heard about Ham being the black race, or trying to refer to Ham as the Middle East or whatever. See, the generation of Ham is simply the generation that walks in carnality, in ignorance. The generation that does not recognize the Father. Does not honor the Father. For this reason, God is sending his ministers, his word today. And like the ravens, they are going to pluck out the eyes of the understanding. They are going to pluck out the eyes that do not honor the Father and the Mother. Proverbs 30:17 says, "The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagle shall eat it." Praise God. The ravens of the valley are the ministers. The ravens of the valley can be referred to as also the spirit of Elijah that comes to restore things back the way they were in the beginning. See, it comes to pluck out the eyes that do not, you know, that mock at the Father and do not obey the Mother. This is the same eye that Ham picked up. This is the same eye that Ham had when he mocked the Father. When we don't walk in truth, we simply mock God. But thank God for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. See, our groaning in our closets, groaning day and night within us, is to stay aligned in the mind of God, recognizing God, the only God, and serving him in singleness of heart. This is the only way to enter in within the walls of the New Jerusalem. No other way can we inherit life except by hearkening to this simple truth. So, brethren, the time has come to honor God, to serve God. Let us recognize the truth, recognize the holy presence, and live in relation to that holy presence. Amen.